3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Long Beach Social Experiment Podcast with your host, Steven Martinez, aka Mega Man. This is episode 295, the COVID lockdowns. And I have a very, very special guest to be my co-host to talk about this certain subject on our episode, Cali Girl Eats. What's up, girl?
What's up?
And also, I want to give a shout out to Viva Mascal Engineering, and also follow Viva Mascal, and also follow East of the River Studio, everyone. This is where I do the podcast at. So let the conversation begin. This, to me, I was thinking about it for like a year, and I was looking to reflect on those times when the COVID lockdown happened, because it happened in the beginning of March. I mean, looking back, it was some crazy times.
Crazy times.
Would you think about those times?
For me, I remember being at home, and I remember just feeling like such an eerie sense in the air. I remember going online, listening to different people's lives. Mm-hmm. And one day I was on a live with my friend and your friend, Chris Jusko, mm-hmm. The Jusko kid. Shout out to him.
Shout outs.
And he was on live with Elvia and her husband. Well, actually they were boyfriend, girlfriend then, but Evil Cooks. And we were there, and it was almost like time had stopped, to mm-hmm. be honest. And I was just listening to what they were talking about on the live, and I had chimed in. And I was a fan of Chris because of all the stuff I was learning from his podcast. And they were talking about the lockdowns and how it's going to affect small businesses, how it was going to affect food vendors, how it was going to affect restaurant owners, small businesses with jewelry, and a lot of different people in the community were going to be affected by it. And then even from a retail end, which is what I am in. And then they were talking about maybe meeting up at Troy's, and they were having a conversation amongst themselves, and it was almost like, hey guys, I'm here in the room. Like, did you mean me too? Because they were going to mm-hmm. meet up to go grab like steak sandwiches. Mm-hmm. And there was just such an eeriness in the air. And I was listening to how they were perceiving what was going to happen and what was to come. And I remember in that moment, like my heart was like beating really fast, because we were hearing and learning through the news, mm-hmm. through different resources, how everything was gonna affect us here in Los Angeles. And I remember at that moment in time, we didn't know what COVID was.
I remember I was working overnight, and I was working in the afternoons, and I was going home, and I was like, let me go take a drink. I was gonna go stop at Trademark's Brewery and get a drink. And that was a time where I felt like the owners and people was like, hey, well, best of luck to you guys. I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. Like, why? Mm-hmm. Because everything's going to be shutting down the next day. Mm-hmm. And this is when everything was shutting down, like the factories, you know, the curfews. I mean, it was going like this virus was spreading at the time. And they were having people who were coming to the United States and crews or planes like, no, stay where you're at. And I thought, like, man, this is like a serious outbreak.
Yeah.
And I was worried.
Yeah,
because people were dying.
Yeah.
And we saw social media. But at the time, it was like, we were all scared.
I remember. I mean, I have family and friends who had passed away. And I remember seeing on the news, when you would see loved ones go to the hospital, you couldn't go.
Oh my gosh.
And it was so scary, because you would see people in like hazmat gear with plastic mm-hmm. gloves and plastic mm-hmm. masks and everything covering them, like as if they were literally going into hazmat. And you would see grandmothers wanting to hug their family members, and they'd have like plastic bags.
They couldn't.
Yeah, and you could just hug them, but through this like plastic wall. Mm-hmm. And it was so frightening, because we had never in our lifetime ever experienced anything like this.
The scary thing is, when you saw on social media and they're putting lives on Instagram, and people like in ventilators, you know, mm-hmm. like that oxygen, like mm-hmm. to keep you afloat, yeah. that pretty much you're going to die.
Yeah.
And it just really messed up your lungs. And when I saw people like, oh my God, like I saw like two people on the live passed away right there on the live. I'm like, oh shit. And you, And if like you can say you can't even talk, you can't even say anything to your loved ones.
What was so scary too?
And also the hospitals were overpacked. So
exactly.
That means in a way, I'm sorry. Like, and people were scared. It's like, you know what? I'm not gonna go to hospital because if I go to hospital, I'm gonna fucking die.
Yeah, I remember also too when they were labeling essential workers versus non-essential workers, and you know they. I hate to say it this way, but I felt like our government sold us this whole, you're essential, like you're important, you're great. And so these essential workers, such as people who worked at a grocery store.
Like me.
Like you.
The front lines.
And you guys were on the front lines, nurses, doctors, you know, people that were in insurance industries, you're on the front line. And they sold it to us as if you guys are part of this whole American, you know, get out there and you're going to be able
propaganda.
To. Exactly. And what it was is, what are you getting out of it? What did you get out of it of having to go to the grocery store? I mean, while other people were at home collecting a check. And what scared me is
unemployment checks.
Exactly. So you're getting employment checks where now look at all this debt that's created and
$34 trillion in
debt. Inflation and how it's affecting food and gas and all of these things that are happening to us right now. And none of us knew by us getting all these checks that people were frivolously spending on fireworks, you know, and they're doing fireworks, not even 4th of July yet. Mm-hmm. And now we're all paying the price. Every single one of us that, you know, benefited from those checks and those who were essential workers who were still working their regular paycheck, mm-hmm. you know, and when I look back, hindsight's 2020, but I think, you know, I remember in the moment thinking, God, my friends who are essential workers, mm-hmm. such as yourself, here you're working under those conditions where you're terrified, not knowing what this illness is.
Correct.
And every day you're going on, putting on a mask on the front lines, quote unquote. And it was scary because I would look at my friends that were essential workers. And as I was at home with my mask on, because they told us to put on a mask in our home, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting there, you know, cooking dinner for my daughter or my family. And I'm like, holy crap, like these essential workers are having to put their lives on the line and still go do their jobs, whether they're teachers, whether they're nurses.
It was those crazy in those times because you don't know. When I was working overnight and I didn't know the person could have COVID.
Yeah.
Or this person could have COVID. Yeah. Then all these restrictions and, oh, hey, if you want to stay longer, you know, we'll give you hero's pay and all this. Mm-hmm. Then I can just tell when the lockdowns did happen, a lot of people's moods changed. Mm-hmm. Like it was
stress
evil.
Stress levels. Stress and evil. So high.
Like people's true colors came out.
Absolutely. I remember one day we went to Costco and there was literally a lady with a ruler, like one of those retractable rulers. And she was measuring people in line. And I was looking at her and me and my daughter were wearing gloves and a mask. And I'm telling Maggie, stay with me. Don't go far. Like, stay, make sure people are 6 feet away, because that's what they told us. So we're being programmed to think that if we're too close to someone, we could die.
Six feet.
And I mean, I remember literally going into Sam's Club or Costco, and we're making lines to get into the store because they were only letting so many people in the store at the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember my heart was just pounding through my chest because my daughter's with me. And I told her, like, I want you to stay in the car and I'll go in by myself. And she's like, no, Mom, I want to go with you. And it was such a scary thing to experience it and feel it. And then, you know, I hate to say, but even myself included, we'd be in the store. And if I'd see a man or a woman get too close to us, I'd be like, can you please step away?
Yes, I've seen fist fights.
Yeah, there was no fist fights, but there were people definitely giving that energy of, get away from me.
Like, get away from me, yeah. Distance. And also when you bring racism and you bring propaganda into the news, and also with social media, you're going to see a lot of stuff like, okay, because when I saw people break down mentally, I was more like, because I did an episode, a mental awareness episode, and the subject I was talking about is suicide. Mm-hmm. And I overcome a lot of those obstacles, and I had another obstacle to get over, which is the COVID.
Yeah.
And I feel like, to me, this was a test.
Absolutely.
Mentally a test.
It was a mental test to see who was strong to survive this, because like the saying goes, only the strong will survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to make sure, I mean, for me, I felt like my faith is what got me through it, of being strong and like having to pray and just asking God to get me through this for me and my daughter. Mm-hmm. And it was very challenging because, you know, I myself being in therapy when I was working for Ralph Lauren and then having my job lay me off and use the pandemic as an excuse to save their bottom line.
Yes.
I felt like, man, I was with this company for 15 years and I was so loyal to them and I gave them so much of myself. I mean, I had missed my best friend's wedding just to be there when we had a corporate visit. And to have them lay me off right at a pandemic, I felt like it was such a slap in the face.
Yeah.
But I tried not to take it personally because I knew, okay, they're running a business. They have to make these decisions that are tough. I didn't take it personal to my boss, but I was, of course, upset. But I had to mentally be strong and just say, look, everything happens for a reason, and really pray and focus on what is my next step. And so I had a choice to make, to either have my mental health become sad and depressed and go down this spiral, or be strong and use this opportunity to look at my life and reevaluate what my career and my next career moves were going to be. Mm-hmm. And those were the choices that I decided to make.
That was, yeah, because I remember when it did happen, they were laying off people. But if you were sick with COVID, you had maybe 2 weeks of pay, but after that, that was it.
That was it.
And also, if you had COVID, and a lot of people have COVID, you can't just transfer people to come work at your store. You're fucked. So to me, this is where when people had COVID at my job, it was shorthanded. People were working 23 hours in one day, mm-hmm. 16 hours. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a girl who worked 126 hours in 1 week. And she had no day off because we had no help.
It's there was you're short staffed. So you have no choice but to.
Yeah. And at the same time, there is people who are saying like, hey, you know, if you're going to take this vax, you know, you got to take it. It's like, I'm not fucking taking shit. Yeah. But it's like, well, if you don't take it, that means you're fired. And if I'm fired, am I going to get unemployment or not here?
No, I mean, because it was your choice to not take the vaccine.
But when you were like, I took the vax. Yeah. I took two.
I took the first one and the second one.
And to me, it's like I had no other choice because I would be fired. And also, there was no one hiring. Everything was like shut down. Mm-hmm. And people who had worked in buildings or in commercials were working from home. Yeah. But for us, the essential workers, it's like, man, I'm putting my life on the line every fucking day, Cindy, mm-hmm. because thinking the fact like I might fucking die.
No, I knew that. I remember.
And there was a time where I think it was like I went to see my ex. And I saw my son, and after that, I went to work the next day. Then it came. It was on a Saturday. It was Sunday morning. Saturday night, Sunday morning came, and I just didn't feel good. And I just told, you know, my ex, you know, like, take care of the two boys. And I didn't want to go to the hospital. And this is where it's like, oh, shit, I have COVID. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. And I never had this before, but when I took the COVID, before I took the COVID the vax, you know, they went to go do a test, they put the thing up my nose, mm-hmm. now knowing like, fuck, I never should have done that. Mm-hmm. But at that time, I almost died. And I remember, you know, I had so much pain. I just like, you know what? I can't do it no more. It's like, you know, God, if I die, you know, I'm going to be at peace. It's just, it was the pain I was, mm-hmm. when I was going through. And I remember it was on a Wednesday in the morning, afternoon, I think it was Wednesday morning, I was drenched, sweating, yeah. headaches, my body, I was like throwing up, like,
yeah.
and I don't know how I made it, but I survived and woke up better, like Thursday, probably like around 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I had COVID for like almost a week, but that time on that Wednesday, man, I was very lucky.
Yeah. I remember when my daughter got it, because she already has asthma,
mm-hmm.
we were so scared that it was going to go worse. And then we ended up having to take her to urgent care. And then they gave her a nebulizer machine to like help her expand her lungs to get that medicine in her.
Yeah.
And it was so frightening. And she was like, Mom, this is the worst cold flu, you know, experience I've ever had, which obviously is COVID. But I remember, you know, just thinking like, God, you know, she's so young and she's so healthy and she's, you know, probably in the best health she'll ever be in her lifetime. and she's struggling to breathe. And I was like freaking out.
It was bad.
It was really, really bad. And then, you know, when once I took care of her and got her back to health, and it's like it came to me and I got it. And it was the worst cold flu I've ever experienced in my life. But praise God that we survived it.
I remember like the situation in 2020 in March, we were going through with Biden and Trump, all this stuff, what was going on with the you know, the Wuhan, the leaks, you know. And I noticed, it's like, man, people are like always posting these COVID jabs, like, you know, videos or info, and it would be censored, you know. And this is when the whole situation started with Twitter, you know, with there were some doctors from Harvard, also some Stanford, say, hey, this is what you do if you have COVID, this is how you overcome. And they censored them.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people like, this is what you do. And we were like, man. Like
with the vitamin C's.
Yes.
And what zincs. Herbs you can take. The zincs. Yeah. And all the, and those would be censored too. And I'm like, why are they censoring it if this is something that's helping us get better? But you see, that's the thing, is that they didn't want us to get better. They wanted us to
pretty much in a way die, because when we find out now, it's for a decreased population.
Yeah.
Who was involved, you know, the government, Bill Gates, a lot of other people.
Well, and you think about all of these pharmaceutical companies that are big making pharma.
billions
of dollars off of our health. And that's what's so frightening, is because we're a number to them.
We're a number, we're expendable. And at the same time, what's really sad as well is the small businesses closing down, but corporation is okay to open still?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that these are people that have small businesses that have poured their finances into to create something better for their family. But yet our government has money for big pharma and to help bail out them and to help, you know, banks, bail out the banks, bail out Ukraine, bail out everybody, but not these small businesses. And that's why, you know, as a food blogger, whether I promote people that have small businesses for restaurants and, you know, corner taco shops and whatnot, or even just small businesses, because it's like, we are America. We are the little people that are building these, the building up what our dreams are, the American dream. And it shouldn't be about big corporations that the U.S. make money off of.
Yeah. It's something where it's like they had so much money to spend on stupid stuff. Why are you going to help out the homeless? It's already bad. Why are you going to help out the schools? It's already bad. Why are you going to put this money in? It's just a waste of money for other things, which was really bad. It's like, and when the small businesses were closing down, they're like, man, what am I going to do now? Or close, or businesses closed down. And this is where, well, gee, man, if my business closed down, I always wanted to do this. And here comes a new wave of people starting other businesses, barbecue, breweries, you know, clothing, like, well, I got to make money somehow online or get your name out there and stuff, because you're locked down and you're trying to figure out, because we had that cabin fever where we were talking to each other on live, but at the same time, we were trying to, you know, build each other up. Hey, you can do it, you know, and people were thinking like a lot, like, well, gee, this is 3 years, I'm going to be locked down. This is the only opportunity, Cindy, in human history. Whatever you were doing wrong in your past, you can just stop and break that cycle, stay, you know, break that curse. And you know what? Whatever I was taught wrong, I'm going to be taught right. And people changed. But also a lot of people didn't make it.
Yeah. There's people that changed for the better. But then there's people that you really started to see who they are.
Correct.
Because their mask came off and you saw them for who they are.
It was really sad. It when we see a lot of people, it's like, man, but it's kind of good to see it with your own eyes, but also it sharpens your mind to be aware of those types of people in our circle or when we go out to events and all. You just know, because they all come in different shapes and sizes, and they come with different types of masks.
They come with different agendas, and you know, they have ulterior motives. And it's sad, because like, you've tried to, and I appreciate the advice that you've given me over, you know, the year, and it's helped me, because like, sometimes you think, oh, they're just trying to be your friend, but then at the same time you think, what's their purpose? What's their motive? You know, and because normally I don't, I've never really thought that way. I've never really operated out of that way. But I think also being a food blogger and or promoting, you kind of have to think, well, what is this person's motive?
What's their intentions?
What's their intentions? And so long that you see their intentions are pure, cool. But the minute that you see that they're asking questions that are personal, that have nothing to do with, you know, what I'm about or what you're about, that's where you kind of wonder, like, you know? So, you know, they reveal themselves. And when you feel that energy of that, you just kind of put that aside and, you know, you move on.
It's something where if people can look back and relate, it brought the best out of people, which I know it did. Mentally. And I feel like now how I see things looking back, I was like, man, we were duped, you know, with all this propaganda. Then at the same time, like all this lies that's coming out with COVID, and now the situation, like down the road, like we might go through another second lockdown where people, couples are breaking up. People who were married are filing for a divorce because you know what? I'm tired of your fucking bitch ass. I'm tired of hearing your fucking mouth. I'm tired of all this shit. You know what? You suck. You know, they're just breaking up or divorcing because now they're like, hey, you focus on you, you focus on me. But what's going to happen with the kids?
Yeah.
That's the thing, it's sad.
The family unit is being attacked again.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing is like, we can sit here and talk about the whole feminist movement and, you know, how people think. I will say, me being very a traditional woman, being raised the way that I was raised, I do have feminist traits, but then I also have very traditional traits. And, you know, growing up in the society where, you know, you're listening to Beyonce and you're about woman power, I think it's great to have that strength within yourself, but I think it's also good to have that submissiveness within yourself because, you know, going back to the traditional values that I was taught, you know, my mom raising six brothers and sisters, my brother's the only boy and there's five girls in our family. You know, we were taught to respect our father and also respect my brother because he's my dad's namesake. And my brother was treated kind of like a king in our house because he's my dad's namesake. And he was my big brother, so I looked up to him. Like I saw him as, you know, my hero in a way. And even my big sisters, you know, I saw them as second moms. But we were very much so a unit. And, you know, whenever like my parents would come home from work, you know, we had to have our house clean. We had to have the dishes done. We had to have, you know, the restrooms clean. And then we had to start dinner. So it's like our job was to make sure a dinner salad was ready, make sure the chicken was put in the oven, things like that, that I know being that traditional woman, I've taught my daughter and I'm really proud of her. You know, she's 21 years old. She knows how to cook. She knows how to clean. She knows how to do a lot of things that my parents taught me, my sisters taught me, my mom taught me. And, you know, now that Maggie's older and she's studying to become a nurse, you know, and she cooks and she does a really nice meal and I spend time with her and she'll say like, look, Mom, I made this for you. Like, to me, that's how you could define me. You know, what is my legacy? It's my daughter. And when I see that she's like, come on, Mom, we're going to go shopping. Let's go get this, this, and this, because this is what I want to make. And I'm like, okay, mija. And then we go and we get our groceries and then she makes something. I look at her and I'm like, I'm so proud of you. And she's like, why, Mom? It's only I'm making soup or it's not a big deal. But I'm like, to me it is, because you know what? A lot of girls her age, they don't cook. They don't do those things. They're in a fast food environment. And it's fun to go out. Believe me. I mean, I'm a food blogger. Hello. I love to go out.
It's something where it's, man, I like where your head's at with this, because I think you have to reinvent yourself. And that's what I was doing, where it's like, you know what? I was tired of whatever drama there I was dealing with at that time. And everyone showed the true colors. So I kind of like, okay, push that away. Push that aside. Don't worry about it. And for some kind of reason, I started doing a lot of research. And I think in a way the
knowledge help you grow.
If the maturity of learning about yourself, learning about your show, pushing out the truth, pushing out the message, mm-hmm. you know, knowing who's real, who's not. Mm-hmm. The agendas with the LGBT, you know, with the left and the right, the conservatives, the Black Lives Matter, the liberals, I mean, the feminists, the masculinity. Yep. Yep. These were agendas that we see in social media where, whoa, it was like, it was very overwhelming, mm-hmm. but I'm kind of glad I seen a lot of the traits of what was real and what was not. And it was something where it's like, that's where I started quickly researching, because I think in a way there were some people who didn't like who I was. And I think there were like more feminists, more liberal. Mm-hmm. But at the time it was more Black Lives Matter and mm-hmm. the certain things like, whoa, because you were going to be outed. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were wearing, make America great again, like, oh, they you're Trump, you're conservative. Yeah. Now the tables have turned, because mm-hmm. the evidence now of looking back is like, this was all like agenda just to get rid of fucking Trump and have Biden in there. And at the same time, all the money was being wasted on stupid shit. But we can't even save our own country. Oh, we'll help the citizens. We'll give you a stimulus check.
Yeah. But I think the thing is now as we go more and more and more in debt, and you see the lack of education during that time when we were in lockdown, parents were stuck at home with their children for three years that we've been underneath this. And so now when the kids are finally back at school, the kids are unruly because some parents were disciplining and parenting and school and homeschooling, but there's some parents that, let's be honest, they just didn't give a shit. And so now you have behavioral problems. And then with the lack of funding within schools, you have teachers that are teaching, but then you have student teachers that are not qualified to teach, that are actually teaching your kids. And they didn't go to, four-year college. They don't have a master's degree. They didn't put in that work, but yet they are supervising your children. They are teaching them and they are in classroom helping them. And unfortunately, you know, I know this as fact because my daughter's friends who are there teaching them in class, and I'm like, wow, like they don't even have a degree, but yet it's like they're babysitting. Mm-hmm. And what's scary is my daughter tells me, Mom, I'm so glad that I graduated class of 2020. And even though I didn't get a graduation, I didn't get prom.
Oh yeah, they had a graduation where you're in your car driving.
Oh yeah, we had a drive-through, and I mean, I'm telling you, as a parent, I felt like I was robbed, especially as a single mom.
But also, you know, when your daughter or my kids, they were doing classes online, they were mm-hmm. like, this is cabin fever. They need to be active.
I mean, that was the thing, is that you saw people, oh, let's learn how to make sourdough bread at home. And I'm like, yes, I'm not going to do this. I told Maggie, we are not doing this.
We got bored.
I said, we're going to go to the park. We're going to go walk. We're going to go exercise. Let's go on a hike. Let's go to the beach. Let's go do something, because I am not going to sit at home. And I mean, I'm sorry, I'm already a plus size woman. I'm not going to put on another 20, 30 pounds. Hell no. We're going to go and we're going to go exercise. And so we did. We would go to Alhambra Park. We would go to Almanzar Park. We'd go to, you know, Whittier and walk up to the water tower. We would do whatever we could. We'd drive to Long Beach. We'd drive to, you know, Newport Beach, Manhattan Beach, whatever we could do to get in the car and get the heck out, because it was like, I had cabin fever. I mean,
But at the same time, and you know, there was curfews.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I didn't like, because I remember you have to be in by 6, you know, and it's like, I was walking, it's like, an officer, hey, what are you doing? It's like, I'm going to the store, go back home.
Yeah.
I was like, huh? You don't tell me what to do? Like, go back home. It's like, well, why? Because I'm out here and there's no one in Long Beach.
It was dead. Yeah.
And he said, go back, and you could even drive on the freeway.
Yeah.
I heard stories when they were blocking the freeways, mm-hmm. and you're like, we're staying home. Mm-hmm. There are some people committing infidelity, and they were like, shit, and like telling the booty call, like, dad, I'm so fucking horny, I want to fuck you, but I can't, because pretty much in a way, it's like, they're telling me to go back, so I have to wait, or this, and it's like, it changed everything. And also with the riots that happened in Long Beach,
it was crazy.
I seen it firsthand, and I was like, wow, some of it kind of looked staged. Yeah. It was like, gee.
I remember driving down one of the streets and seeing on the corner there was a pallet of bricks.
Yes.
And then as I was driving down like a strip mall, like on one of the main streets, I remember seeing glass window shattered. And then in looking on the side, there was like bricks, like someone had thrown it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how the heck did those pallets get there?
And the cops are sitting there. And I remember there were some people screenshotting. It's like, do you see that what's going on Craigslist? It's like, what's going on? They're saying, hey, we'll give you $300 if you want to do some type of event downtown in Long Beach, like whatever. Like, you know, you kind of blame George Soros for the situation of bringing all these people from different cities to ransack and do it to another city in Nah. Mm-hmm. And what's really sad is that on 4th Street, 2nd Street, and Pixby Knows, they focus their protecting the families who run Long Beach and East Protected. Well, the other ones who were in the hood, they let it just burn,
they
rot.
They let it burn and rot.
And all that. And they fucked the whole city up. But this is the thing. I had to go to work, but we couldn't do shit. You know, it was like, what do we do? So they told us to go home. So I'm driving back home, taking the Vincent Thomas Bridge to Long Beach. And I go on Ocean Boulevard. And I make a left. It's like, let me check something out. So I made a left on Pine. Mm-hmm. I started to cry.
Why?
The whole city got together all and started cleaning up what happened the night before. Yeah. Everyone was helping.
Because like, it's your city.
I saw Hood. Shout out to Hood Santa and me. There was a lot of people like, hey, do you need help? We're going to black stores, Cambodian stores, white stores, anyone. Like, do you need help? I mean, they fucked, ransacked everything.
I remember
everything.
Driving down Anaheim Street where all the little Cambodian markets are.
Oh, they fucked them all
up.
And
it was ransacked.
Yes.
Like, ransacked.
They didn't
and
care.
There was, and some
they
of them
care.
Had boards up.
Yeah.
The ones that could afford to
And
put
you can
it up.
See it now. They haven't. They haven't.
They still haven't. Yeah.
They
still haven't.
Yeah. And the second thing about it is you're going to know. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this, former mayor of Long Beach, Mayor Garcia, you can go fuck yourself. You're a fucking clout chaser. You're a left. I don't fucking like you. You didn't do shit for the fucking city. You didn't do anything. You wasted your money on stupid fucking crap. And he just like helped out for the cameras for 20 minutes.
Yeah, for a photo op.
Then he went back into his mayor's apartment. And people were like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Like, how can you do this? Yeah. He had to bring National Guards to protect the
him.
Building of all. Then you saw influencers, clout chasers, right there in Pine Avenue, taking a picture, working, and going back in the car and driving off. What the fuck was that fucking clout? I was like, what is that? Those are fucking clout chasers all coming from Santa Monica.
Wow. That's disgusting.
I couldn't believe it. Like, wow, all for the fucking clout.
You know, I remember, like I had mentioned before, I had done, you know, a blanket drive, and there were certain people that had participated and helped, and then there's certain people that like, oh, I'm gonna just put my name on this and I'm gonna run it with you. But they never did anything. Mm-mm. But their just name was on it. And why? Just because they're trying to get publicity, you know, and that's what really I learned out of the pandemic is that there's people that are doing it because their heart is in it.
Correct.
And they do have purpose and they do care about community. And then there's people that are, like you said, clout chasers, you know? And at the end of the day, like, I look at it this way, like, God sees your heart, you know? Like, the people that I care about, my little circle, it's like, those are the ones that are going to be able to say, okay, this is who Cindy is. And beyond that, you know, I think the people that are clout chasers, I think you're able to see through their bullshit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get people who go on my DMs all the time. I want to come on your show or this. I'm going to tell you, clout chasers, if you're hearing this, I put you in a different category. I'm sorry. I don't give a care if you're homies or not. If you're a clout chaser, I can't fuck with you because all you do is care about your fucking ego.
Yeah.
That's all you care about. And you know, there's some people we know now. Calm the fuck down. You're being too cloudy.
Yeah.
Too cloudy.
You know, and the thing is like, when you're trying too hard, it doesn't feel authentic. When you're doing it with purpose to help, put your hand down and pull up someone,
mm-hmm.
then you can see, oh, okay, they really love what they're doing and they're trying to help others. And that's, you know, just like recently we went to go to the dispensary where we met.
Shouts to Originals.
Yeah, shout out to Original. I mean,
shouts to William.
Shout out
and
to
the five brothers.
And the five brothers, the kings. Mm-hmm. People like that, that's where you're like, yeah, I want to support this business. You know, I want to support people like them because he's bringing, you know, jobs to the market. He's bringing, I mean, heck, he's selling weed. So it's like, you know, we mm-hmm. talk about alcohol consumption going up during the pandemic.
Let's talk about that.
We talked about recreational drugs and weed, you know, because people are learning how to cope with all the stresses that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, and I myself, like, you know, I never used to drink a lot and I never used to smoke a lot. But I will say this pandemic at night, I love my indica at night because it kind of helps mellow me out and let me relax and just chill. And so long I'm safe, you know, the kids are safe, mm-hmm. there you go.
And those times I was in the craft beer game mm-hmm. and I was drinking a lot. Mm-hmm. Like I know I've seen people drinking wines, you know, people, you know, doing lives at 6 p.m. and they're still doing lives at 5 a.m. drinking, dang. Drinking. And I'm like, yo, and it's just like you're spending money or just... You got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
You're just drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. I was like, fuck all this. Then I started getting to cannabis, mm-hmm. you know, just for something for mental health.
Yeah.
And I was like trying all this like hybrids, sativa, indica, vapes, edibles. And I think I found what type of cannabis I like is more indica. And it kind of made me more relaxed and not be stressed with my job, with my podcasts, with my home, mm-hmm. with my family, with my social media, but also my surroundings and all. Cause it's sometimes I'm just very too tense and very stressed. And mm-hmm. when I've been smoking since 2021 until now, I calm so much, but at the same time, I always tell people, focus on your mental health.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I lost close to maybe 45 people and I had 2 people die in my arms.
Wow.
And I don't talk about it, but it's more private to me. But those are the things that you learn from having relationships with people and now they're not here, maybe because they died of COVID, car accidents, suicide, you know, just any kind of situation that they died from in those times where when the small businesses, Cindy, were closing down, you know, I lost one of my good friends and it just sucks. Like, you know, just, hey, life goes on. And I can kind of tell people just, if you die, okay, whatever, just live another day. Yeah. It's just no one gives a fuck about anyone anymore.
Yeah. For me, I mean, at 16, I learned a huge lesson when my dad died. And I will say that grief has always kind of stayed with me, but again, trying to think positively, I believe in signs. I believe in signs, and I've had signs from my dad, which I'm very, very happy and grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friends, Viridiana and Gisela, shout out to them. I've known them since I was 3 and they were 4.
Mm-hmm.
Certain times where I've asked for signs, and I've asked my dad to give them the message and he has. And then they call me and they're like, hey, guess what? You know, and we've had those experiences. For me, I learned at a very young age, life is so precious. It didn't take COVID for me to learn that lesson. Mm-hmm. The pandemic, yes, people passed. Yes, I had, you know, my cousins and my aunt and my tia, different family members that were affected by it that passed. But for me, I learned that lesson when I was a 16-year-old girl. And, you know, I loved my dad. He was our hero in our house. He was my hero, my best friend. And I think for me, it hit when COVID came because I'm such a, like, social person.
Mm-hmm.
So when I wasn't able to be at work and be able to interact with customers and, you know, my coworkers and friends from work, that was really hard. And being forced to just being in your apartment all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course I love my daughter, but it's like, enough's enough, I wanna get out. Like I felt like a caged, you know?
Yeah, I feel like with me when there was a time I stayed home because when I had COVID or, you know, a lot of people had to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed home maybe for like 2 months
mm-hmm.
and go back, you know, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, you know what? I have all this time And I had a binder, mm-hmm. and I started writing all my strong points, mm-hmm. writing all my weak points. And I have another binder. I can't find it, but I said, accomplish your goals, but also battle your demons.
I remember that. I remember saying that.
Yeah. And that's where, when I was battling I had a binder, it had a list of battling my demons, of moving off from the past, mm-hmm. Reflecting, talking to people like, yo, I'm sorry, I apologize. You just wanted to move on slowly. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I built relationships where it was kind of like going downhill with some people. Mm-hmm. And it was better to part ways. Mm-hmm. And it made
you're taking an inventory.
Yeah, inventory. Like seeing, okay, yes, no, mm-hmm. yay or nay. Mm-hmm. And I just started learning more and I started like maturing more. Mm-hmm. And this is where I saw people on social media talking about certain things, or I'm just researching, and I just kind of feel like I don't want to say this in a fucked up way, mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad that it happened, mm-hmm. but not in that way, mm-hmm. because it took me to another level.
Yeah, because who was meant to be there with you,
yes.
is with you, mm-hmm. and those who you outgrow, they either leveled up or they leveled out. So you had to decide, is this someone that I need in my life that's positive, or is this someone who is bringing me down, and mentally isn't going to be with me?
That is the main thing about positivity and negativity, mm-hmm. when it comes to people. And you saw people firsthand. I saw people firsthand, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of glad, like you and I and a lot of people that matured, but the ones who didn't, they're still like, man, these motherfuckers are still one-dimensional. They still like the same motherfucker. The
same person. Yeah.
They don't want to grow.
But that's the thing, is the people that are just same old, you are not going to be entertaining that, because they are not evolving and they are not growing and they're not about maturing. And so when you see that they're stagnant and they're just messing around the same thing, they're going to just remain there.
The same regurgitation.
Yeah, and so that's okay, because that's the repeated cycle that they need to learn, because they're in their own karma. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of just wish them well, and you move on.
I was going to ask you something. When, for social media on Instagram, there was a lot of people that we knew that they were battling through mental health, mm-hmm. and we met a lot of good people where now we still fuck with them. They're still friends, he or she, and mm-hmm. and we build relationships with. But there's some people that took advantage because they wanted to be a boy cry wolf or girl cry wolf. Be like, hey, I'm going through mental illness. Like, no, you're just doing that as a front, mm-hmm. because you want people to feel sorry for you so you can get more clout.
Yeah.
That's how low people went.
Yeah.
And I to me, there's some people, yeah. and I cannot fuck with those people anymore. Yeah. Like, you showed your true colors.
Yeah.
You played a front as being mm-hmm. a boy cry wolf, a girl cry wolf, mm-hmm. and you're done.
Yeah.
I can't, because mental health,
because
to me,
the thing is, it's so because important
because
to you.
I know, because mental health is a serious matter.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I was a fan of yours. I was a fan of Driscoll. And as I got to know you as a person, mm-hmm. besides, Mega Man, and then before, Long Beach Social Experiment, because you've had your different, Instagrams that you've had.
I think Mega Man's kind of dying off now. Like, to be honest, everyone knows me as Mega Man. So I just want to say something before you carry on this conversation. Mm-hmm. I love it. I get it with Mega Man. It's my favorite video game. I had a story about Mega Man's podcast. But now it's the maturing stage where I don't want to be considered as Mega Man, because mm-hmm. I don't want to look at myself as that person from the past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to be, just know me as Steven Martinez.
Well, and that's the thing. I've never referenced you as Mega Man. Like, let's put that out there.
You just said my name right now.
I did in terms of how I met you.
Correct.
In the beginning, mm-hmm. And then knew you from your podcast then. Mm-hmm. But then as I've gotten to know you on a personal level, it's like, I just call you Steven.
Yeah.
And it's actually funny, because I think like when you and I are about out and about, whether we're, at a baseball game or we're at a restaurant or something or in the city, and like I'll hear someone scream, Mega Man, and I'm like looking at you like, who the hell are they talking about? And I'm like, Steven, like, because I know you as Steven. So it's like, it's kind of funny. But going back to the whole mental health thing, back when I did follow you as Mega Man, and I would listen to the different things that you put out in your story, I was so intrigued by it because, you know, when I heard your story about what you had went through and, you know, homelessness and your kids and the different trials and tribulations that you've gone through, it really opened my eyes because I was like, wow, like this guy has gone through a lot. And I, you know, attribute it back to my life and the different struggles that I've gone through, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, like all the different facets that I have in my life.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I kind of would look at it like this. I'd be like, dang, like, I've always held myself in a high regard as a mom, and I'm a single mom. And I love Maggie more than my own life. You know, like, she's my everything. She's such a blessing to me. And I thank God every day for her because she's made me a better person.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I hear you talk about your kids and I see what you do for them, and just as an outsider looking in, when I knew you as Mega Man, just looking through your pictures, because, you know, Instagram is so one-sided because all you see is a picture, a snapshot into somebody's life.
Yeah.
But you don't really know the person. And so a lot of times I think there's this misconception of, oh, I know this person because you see them through Instagram, but you really don't know them.
Correct.
You know, that's just a percentage, small percentage.
And that's one of the reasons for the social media. We do not make the time, and I always regurgitate this, we do not make the time and effort to get to know people, understand each other, you know, assumptions, you know, it's just a post.
Well,
it's
and I think video. That people, because even myself included, you're very funny and you have so much humor in you as a person, let alone the posts that you post, because he will literally wake up in the morning, folks, and he will go through and find things that he wants to re-put out there, repost, that is hilarious. And there's times that, like, you know, we'll wake up and you're like posting something that you'll show me, like, hey, Cindy, look at this. And like, I'm watching it and then we're like dying laughing for like 20 minutes. And then like, I'll see you post it either that day or the next day or whatever. But, you know, he puts a lot of work into his Instagram, right? And what's so funny to me is, yes, it may be like a quick little video reel, or it may be like a funny post that he finds, or something that he's wanting to teach us and to show us for us to learn and grow.
Mm-hmm.
Or it may just be him doing a video that is just funny, you know, because he does videos of himself, or I do videos.
I think in a way for people to understand me, I want them to be in my world. When mm-hmm. people follow my page, I want you to understand my method of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If I can be very blunt and call motherfuckers out,
which I've seen,
and I can talk about and post education stuff or podcasts or certain matters that no one wants to talk about, or be there for the community, show love, but, you know, I'm not gonna have anyone, you know, say crap about me, you know, because what they hear on social media or on podcasts,
or their preconceived notions of him. And mm-hmm. see, the thing is you may hear something that someone may tell you, and then maybe someone has beef with him, but the thing is, did you take the time to get to know him?
Correct.
And you know, it's really childish, I think, that someone can have an opinion of Steven and then take it and run with it and like go and create something, you know, negative that they put out there in social media
of what they heard, or maybe because I had a follow. But this is the thing, I want to say this, because there was a person, two people last week that asked, you know, what's up with you having these beef with people? I said, this is the thing. I'm not going to mention these podcasters or certain people, but when I explained to them, this is what happened, they were like, oh,
mm-hmm.
because you're parting ways because of what's their intentions.
Yeah.
And you don't need to have negativity and stuff, because, like I said, people pretend to be hanging around with you to mm-hmm. take your ideas, mm-hmm. to take anything. Mm-hmm. And I saw that firsthand.
Oh, and I see it. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. the stuff that Steven talks about 6-7 months ago
mm-hmm.
is stuff that was original and that was on the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see people that are also podcasters that are talking about it maybe 4 or 5 months after the fact that Steven has talked about it with King Mexico or whomever.
And this is the thing that when... like I said, when all this lockdowns happened, I wanted to reinvent myself and say, okay, how am I going to get more views? How mm-hmm. am I going to stay original?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about the same fucking shit. Mm-hmm. Stop regurgitating. Okay, then that's when I had my binder. I'm going to change my life. I'm gonna talk about this on my post. I'm gonna talk about these on these certain subjects on my podcast where I have something here, and I've been seeing a lot of maturity and a lot of numbers growing organic, and you're getting your name out there. And to me, you know how I am. Like, I don't give a fuck about the views, clouts, and numbers or appearance and all. It's all about pushing out the fucking message. Mm-hmm. That's it. And this is the thing, I'm going to get crap. I don't want to hear, oh, it's all about unity. Why are we still bashing on each other? Oh, it's all about ASA. Okay, then why are we still bashing on each other? Mm-hmm. Crabs in a bucket, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to have that any fucking hate.
Because people have this mentality that there's not enough to go around, aka crabs in the bucket.
Correct.
But if you really think about it, there's plenty to go around. It's mm-hmm. how you perceive things. It's your mindset. And if you look at it as, oh, well, I need to step on him to get to the top, you know, really, it's sad. It's pathetic. And you better look in the mirror, and you better have a long, hard conversation with yourself.
And because I've seen that firsthand with a lot of celebrities and entertainers and all, and this is the thing where I'm more independent. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in a tribal or divisions or cliques, or if I bring someone on, like he or she's fucking with that, like why mm-hmm. you bring him or bring her. But to me, I'm independent. I'm a maverick. I'm mm-hmm. a zebra. I like mm-hmm. to do what I fucking want.
Yeah, you do what you want, when you want, how you want. It's you. It's your business. It's your show. It's the Long Beach social experiment. Mm-hmm. And that way you're not having to go and get anybody's blessing or bow down to anybody, because you're not up anybody's ass.
I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to be a follower. Yeah. And I see a lot of people who want to be followers with some fucked up leaders. Like, you fucking with that motherfucker? Yeah. Man, good luck on that.
I think that's why you like to be solo, because it's like you answer to you.
Yeah.
So you are a leader, but you're your own leader. You know, you're mm-hmm. You're not wanting to follow anybody to get their a blessing or their approval.
Fuck no.
You know, and that's always been you. And it's cool to be a loner, because then you are setting the rules for yourself. And my dad was like that. And I always have been that way myself. You know, like, yes, I like to be social. Yes, I like to have friends. But I'm accountable to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? It's just something where every time we go to events, like, people know me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how do you know him? Like, we'll give you an example. We'll drop some names.
Okay.
Like, we went to, me and Cindy, we went to a comedy show. Was it on Monday?
Yeah.
We went to go to Radiant Brewery to go show love to Sancho's comedy.
Shout out to Sancho. We love Sancho's.
And one of my homegirls, like, she's going to come on the show, Liz. And she was like, oh, hey, what's up? What are you doing over here? And we had coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
With shouts to Paul from Trinity's Coffee.
It's the best coffee. Oh, it was so good. I had the lavender one today.
We're gonna get
oat milk. So good.
It's so good. Shout out to
check them out.
Check them out. Trinity Coffee. But she was like, oh, hey, what's up? And Sancho's like, how do you know each other?
Yeah.
It's a small world, because this is the thing. I know a lot of people in Long Beach and Harbor area, or when we go to events here, mm-hmm. you're building relationships.
Absolutely.
You're networking, you know, because you never know who's going to be hearing you or watching you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the owners of Originals
mm-hmm.
say, I want you to come and check out our place.
Yeah.
And who knows if people listen to my show, or maybe because they like what I post.
Well, even when you said to William, the owner, one of the owners, you're like, hey, I want to get you on my podcast. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's mm-hmm. let's chop it up.
Yeah.
And it's like, I will say within like what, minute of 20 minutes that we were there, like, he was sharing with us his story, his family's
American
story.
American dream.
It was literally the American dream. He brought us to all the different rooms to show us from the beginning stage of the process.
Wow.
Throughout the middle stage to the end result of what you get, the product. And it was amazing.
Like the room that had the dry cannabis.
Yeah.
And it smelled like, it's almost like a hot farm.
Yeah.
And you were like, we're trying to protect it. It's like, oh, it's sticky, icky. We actually licked it.
He said, touch it and feel it. And you felt it, and you could feel the resin on the little buds of weed. And we were like, we both looked at each other, and then William like stuck his tongue on his finger, and I did the same thing, and then Steven did the same thing. We're all doing it.
And it's weird, because he's kind of more like hey, Slick Vic, I think we found your brother from another mother. Then at the same time, you had a relationship because you guys grew up from East Los.
Yeah. Well, the thing is my mom is from East LA, and she went to Roosevelt High School. So we started talking, and then he had mentioned East LA College. I'm like, my grandmother lived right there off of Brooklyn. And so as we had a lot of things in common and we were sharing, it really warmed my heart, because here's this guy with a high school education with his five brothers, and he is literally living the American dream. And he said, you know, I work day and night, I'm doing this for my family. But you know what made me so happy is to know, you know, here he is creating this great product. I mean, it is an amazing product. We tried it. The vape the pens best. Were oh. fire. I mean,
the OG watermelon one. Oh, the OG my gosh. Kush.
Oh my God.
He gave us a goodie bag, the yeah. tours, and this
it was
is
so beautiful.
And this is the thing, guys. Like, you never know, once again, who's your biggest supporters, who's yeah. your biggest fans.
Yeah. And we went, and it was such an amazing treat to see. And when we left, we were just so happy. And, you know, seeing Raza flourish, that's what it's about. And so when you see someone doing good, it's like you want to praise them, you want to support them, you want to promote them. And that's why, you know, here we are talking about him. You know, shout out to William and the company that he's running, Originals.
Originals.
And, you know, when you walk into his shop, you can tell it is a top-notch shop. And they have edibles, they have pre-rolls, they have vapes, they have gummies. I mean, you name it, they got it. They have wax, they have everything.
They make their own cannabis.
And they grow it. And, you know, in this day and age that we live where people are dying of fentanyl, I'm sorry, but I want to know where my stuff is being grown.
That is, let's talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, what was so cool is him taking us to each room where you saw it from it being grown from like a baby. And then he referred to them as she's, because, you know, there's the females and then the males. And as he brought us into different rooms and we got to the end state where the coloring in the weed was like this purple green. It was so beautiful. And the smell, I was like, I wish Instagram had smell-o-vision, because it was so beautiful. It smelled so good. And then I looked at him, I said, you got to make a perfume of this, because honestly, it smelled so good.
I just like what he's doing, because when we went over there, I told him, I was like, you know, I'm kind of glad that a lot of cannabis stores open, but you got to find the right cannabis to help you. And I feel like, to me, like indica, you know, just kind of just killed my depression.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just in another level.
Yeah.
And I told him it's all about mental health. They see, you have CBD, you have people who take it for their arthritis,
people,
or
cancer,
for the brain.
Patients. Yeah.
Yes. All that stuff. And you know, we talked about with cannabis, where it came from.
Yeah.
It came from the Anunnakis. It came from the mixtures of the gold and silver to make marijuana.
Yeah. And this is stuff that, you know, when you're learning about it, it blows your mind that you're like, wow. And then when you're on it, and at night, I mean, if you don't have a notebook, get your notebook out and start writing all the things that come in your head, because you really start to expand places in your mind that you wouldn't have normally.
You know what I found out? That you have to find this. So there's a lot of people like me, because I consider myself a conspiracy theorist.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people who are conspiracy theorists. And I always ask them, you smoke out? I say, yeah. So what's your best cannabis? Indica. Mm-hmm. And it says, why is that? Because with indica, I'm relaxing my mind, but I'm opening my mind,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hearing and I'm thinking of things, what to talk about to yeah. stay original
yeah.
and be 1,000 steps ahead yeah. from everyone else. When he said that, I was like, okay. I started smoking. He's like, yo, I have some ideas. And I started writing shit mm-hmm. down. Like I said, I always want to be original.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to say, a lot of you fucking podcasters, dude, you better step your fucking game up, because I don't like regurgitation. I'll call your fucking bitch ass out, dude, because yep. the podcast game, and I know it's being oversaturated, but at the same time, for you to still be 1,000 steps ahead, stay original.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And because look it, they're going to talk about my episodes or anyone else's episodes like 8 months later.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you know,
oh,
what
news.
I also like to say is, all you podcasters that hate on Mega Man, aka Steven Martinez, Long Beach Social Media, all I have to say is, you guys have him in your mouth. So, you know, he must be doing something right. So,
I mean, fake pages. Saying. I mean, there's people with fake pages. You know, like King Mesco, shouts to King Mesco. He says, I want a fucking hater. It's like, I want a person who makes a fake page. Because if you don't have a fake page,
you haven't made it.
You haven't fucking made it. You know, and they even had a fucking people making merch about me.
I know, man. They really took a time.
That means in a way, you must love my fucking cock.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just how it is, right? I know. Yeah. But it's... Damn. It's just,
I raised my hand.
I know. But to me, it's just, it's sad. Like, you have so much energy that you're not dwelling on yourselves, but you're dwelling on me.
Yeah. Well, the sad thing is they're using their energy in a negative way. Mm-hmm. So what does that say about them? I mean, no offense, but you know, I don't like to talk bad about people because I think people can grow. Mm-hmm. However, they got some growth to do. They need some fertilizer.
Yeah, they have a lot of growth to do, but the way how I see it, it's like just... let them be. It's like
it's not even worth it.
It's not even worth it, but it's game over. But I want to tell you, because we're almost at the end, I want to talk about people in those lockdown times were looking for motivation.
Absolutely.
And I feel like, to me, it was another pick me up when you start listening to more podcasts. You know, you start listening to Joe Rogan, you know, David Goggin, you know, Andrew Tate, Kevin Samuels, Jordan Peterson, Fresh and Fit, and the list goes on and on. A lot of these podcasters or influencers made a difference in my life to be where I'm at now. And if it wasn't for them, I'll be honest with you, Cindy, and for anyone else who's listening, I would have been like 6 feet under.
Yeah.
Straight up. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank them because, you know, I was going through a hard time. You know, it's like, you know, I'm going to take a break from relationship because I wasn't healed. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, to me, like I always tell people, like, sometimes you got to focus on yourself.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people do. We focus on other people, mm-hmm. but we don't focus on us.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, like, right now, this time in my life, I know we're going through a lot of change and a lot of different things that we've had to endure since the lockdowns to now. But I mean, if you're not about making yourself happy, you know, you gotta relook at yourself and maybe re-strategize what your game plan is, because mm-hmm. I think life is so precious that you have to keep yourself happy and keep yourself in a state of joy.
Yes.
And your family is the most important thing.
Big time.
You know, whether it's your family that you choose to be around or whether it's the family that you have, but you know, you better start kind of taking an inventory and seeing what it is that you want for your work-life balance and who you're going to fuck with. I mean,
yeah. And also with the second lockdown that might come, and I know there's so much stuff in the world and even on social media that is so overwhelmed, but the thing is, you have to stay positive. Mm-hmm. Please, everyone, focus on your mental health and your brain, because that is the most important part of your body, is your brain.
And by doing that, you have to make sure you're staying hydrated, eating good food, keeping, you know, positive fruits and vegetables, vitamins in your system.
Sleep,
you know, sleep is huge. It's important to make sure that you're well rested and, you know, make sure that you're getting exercise and just trying to keep yourself centered, you know, whether it's through meditation, prayer, mm-hmm. however it is that you, you know, kind of have that moment of meditation for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then whether you have a friend to talk to,
yes.
and or if you don't, make sure you get a therapist. You know, I mean, for me, when I, like I said, when I lost my job with Ralph Lauren, I was in therapy. When I, like everybody else, were on unemployment, you know, had Medi-Cal, I'm so grateful for my therapist, because those are things that I can say to someone who doesn't know me, that isn't going to judge me, that kind of just put it out there. You know, so if you don't have that, make sure you reach out. I know that there's hotline numbers that are there.
Yeah, like, you know, if you're battling through, you know, going through suicide, there's like, you can dial 988. There's always a lot of hotline crisis to call. I always recommend people, if you're going through some stuff, DM me and mm-hmm. we could do FaceTime.
Yeah.
Because I don't see a lot of people doing that, because everyone's all into themselves. Yeah. It's an ego thing now with social media. But you never know, like, you can touch people's lives. Like, even if you just DM someone and say, hey, I just want to check up to see how you're doing.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. I was checking up on people, just, you know, just to see how they're doing. Mm-hmm. And this person said, like, hey, I just want to see how you're doing. Hope you're doing good and all that. And he said, you know, Megan, man, I'm kind of happy that you DM me, because a lot of people don't give a fuck about me, and you know, he's alone. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for that DM that you sent me, I would have just killed myself today.
Yeah.
So you never know.
You never know what people are going through. So you make sure that when you're speaking, you speak with words of kindness, because you may have an off day, and you know, you may person get on your nerves or something, mm-hmm. and you say something just without thinking, and you don't know what it's going to do to impact that person, yeah. you know, in that moment. Mm-hmm. So try to have kindness in your heart and speak with positive energy.
It's hard because I think with me, it's hard because when you see like people are so aggressive of talking shit online, mm-hmm. you don't know
what their intentions are.
What their intentions. They might end up killing themselves, mm-hmm. or they're going to go find you and fucking kill you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
the people right now is focused as like...
I mean, you've had...
Everyone's all fragile state of...
You've had those state. Threats because of your position and mm-hmm. what you think and people. And, you know, people have preconceived notions about you. Mm-hmm. And even quite frankly, they think, oh, okay, because we're friends. Oh, let me get to her and try to ask her things, you know? And that's the thing. It's like... It's about their intention, you know?
And that's why I always stay private. That's why when you get people in your DMs or this, mm-hmm. you have any info on Mega Man, it's hard to find because I don't go out.
Yeah.
I stay home and do podcasts. I'm on live. It's like where I post, but I don't have that cheesemate drama like I used to because I matured.
Yeah.
Because what for? What is it going to do?
We're kind of homebodies.
We're homebodies. You know, if we go out, we stay local and stuff. Yeah. But to me, it's like my main focus is... You know, the family, you know, the podcast, you know, just bettering myself, just relearning, researching. And people were talking about like, hey, Mega Man, are you going to make more conspiracy episodes? I can. But, you know, I got kind of burned out from conspiracy episodes. And the reason.
Take a break for a little bit.
Well, take a break. Yeah. But, you know, my next adventure I want to start doing podcasts about is coffee.
Yeah.
You know, I want to start talking about coffee. Yeah. That's something where I'm done with this subject. I want to start this subject. When I'm done with the coffee, I want to talk about this subject.
Yeah.
Because I always...
It's always about learning and growing.
That's it. It's all about learning and growing. And we just got to exercise, you know, our brain. And that's what I want. Like, oh, did you hear about this? There's a fun fact about that. Like when we told William from Originals, and I told him like, yo, you know, there's some bomb as cannabis from Antarctica. Mm-hmm. I was like,
I know. Where do I get my hands on that?
Where do we get the hands on that? Because, you know, if you really think, when he was like fascinated, he was looking at me like, huh? Like,
yeah.
You know, but the Pangea gland, you know, with Antarctica and South Africa and India and all that, you got all this remedies and herbs and all that. And now it's like, I just love learning about history, mm-hmm. research, because I feel I have to do my part, Cindy, and for the people listening, to educate you guys and ladies the right way. Mm-hmm. And who else is going to do that for us?
Yeah.
That's what I feel.
Well, and it's like, sometimes I feel like they don't want us to know. Mm-hmm. So it's like interesting when you put together, you know, a podcast that's like an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. I love listening to it on my way to work and on my way home, because then it's like, wow, I didn't know that. And then it's like you learn all these great things.
Because I want people to research.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're good at scoping people out, start getting the cheese man, this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of doing that, let's go another route. Let's research, and we can find, well, I didn't learn about this in school. I didn't learn about that. And you spread the knowledge to everyone.
Exactly.
That's what I want to do. When people say, what have you done? I left a legacy of whatever I know to teach not only our people, but the people over the world of the truth, what went on in this whole continent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. Anything, if it's conspiracies, the truth, I mean, some weird stuff, I mean, anything, because I just want them to have an open mind. And I just love it. And I get flooded with DMs and say, yo, Mega Man, I just love when you post research about certain things. And I just love it. I just love teaching people like the right way. And sometimes I don't want to correct them, but I want them to research and do it like, oh, this is what Mega Man taught me. Oh, this is what I found out. Oh, he was speaking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was telling you, I did an episode about mental awareness about suicide. Where did suicide, anxiety, depression, autism all comes into play? processed sugar that is 7 to 9 times more stronger than cocaine. Yep. This is why the more sugar that we have in our bodies and it consumes in our brain, we don't make right decisions. And when you have too much sugar in your body, then you start having all these weird things
like
in your
diabetes.
Diabetes, mm-hmm. cancer, mm-hmm. you know, you're getting aggravated, you're getting pissed, and your body can't take it.
Because your body wants that drug of sugar.
Correct. And if you don't get it, this is where people is like
go through withdrawals.
Yeah, and they commit suicide. Mm-hmm. It's some stuff like I just want to learn. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes in a way, you know, I will get people that says, you know, you need to be careful what you talk about. So, well, who else is going to talk about it? Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like in a way.
If we don't learn about it, then we're not going
to
know.
Yeah. But so to me, it's like I want to learn and talk about it. But is it sometimes in a way people are just programmed not to like, hey, be careful. It's like, no, let's talk about it because you don't know if it's going to help us out or not.
Yeah.
But I think that's about it. But everyone just I hope you liked this episode. Do you have any last words or anything, Cindy?
I think we're good. I think we covered all of our notes.
I know. Is this something to look back and, you know, it's something where with me and you or anyone else, you have to be mentally prepared just in case that we do go do a second lockdown that we already know the blueprint.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I hope this episode makes a difference in people's lives and understand and reflect. You know, because these events that happened to all of us in the whole world for 3 years, this will go down. Like, we will never forget this in our lives.
No, never in our lifetime. We've never experienced anything like this.
Never.
And if you were not part of the making a list of, you know, what's good, what's bad, what you want to change in your life, mm-hmm. if we're going to go into another pandemic, a shutdown, you know, maybe it's time you kind of take a little list and go through what your inventory is of good and bad so that you could become a better person for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones, you know, make sure that your mindset is strong so that you can be putting good back out into the universe.
Yeah. We just, like I said, just be positive because there's so much chaos right now, mm-hmm. but just everyone, please stay positive. That's yeah. all I'm going to say. I just want to give a shout out to Viva Mascal Engineering from East of the River Studios. Cali Girl Eats, where can they follow you on Instagram?
Yep, on Instagram at caligirl.eats. It's Cali, C-A-L-I, dot girl eats.
All right, and you can follow me on the Long Beach Social Experiment, the Twitter as well, personal page, MegaMan6980. January 2024, Mega Man will be on Rumble. Get ready for that. Some people were asking for merch. That's coming soon. Just right now, I'm just a little bit too busy, and I have more episodes to come. Check out episode 294, Mental Awareness, and the subject that we'll be talking about is suicide. And I think I have two more episodes to finish off for the conspiracy talks for Antarctica, mm-hmm. which will be part two, which I will talk about the government. And part three, we will talk about all the conspiracies and good things to come. And also, I have a surprise guest, but I'll just say his name for episode 300. Shouts to my homie Flo. And he will be coming on. And also follow King Mexico's podcast. We do the podcast every Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And we have some good topics that we talk about. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on YouTube. But you can find it on the free speech, which we call Rumbled, everyone. Rumbled. And shout outs to my kids, Gavin, Alex, Emiliano. Today's his birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Emiliano. Daddy loves you. My daughter Luna, Daddy loves you, and all the podcast listeners all around the world showing that love. And until next time, everyone.
Love you too, Maggie.
All right. We're out.
Bye. Later.
Late.